Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious, very effervescent and bubbly Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
Hey, it's good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Yeah, we'll be here till 2 a.m. tonight playing classic radio shows. Is that okay with you?
We'll be here till 2 a.m. tomorrow.
I like to check everything out with you and make sure that you are okay with it.
I'm good with that, only if we do it tomorrow.
I want you
well.
To be in a good mood.
Oh, I'm good. It's you that I'm concerned
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I know. Curtis Koch is our producer in the glass booth. What's up, Curtis?
Yeah, I'm the man behind the curtain.
Yes, you are. And we have some great radio shows tonight. We have Baby Snooks and Daddy with Fanny Bryce as the star to start things off. Then it's Suspense with The Woman in Red from 1944. Then William Gargan stars as tough Private Eye Barry Craig from 1955. But before we do all that, we're going to play our new game, Cat's Pride Crack the Quote, right, Lisa?
Yes, we are. And the first movie will be Rear Window.
Rear Window. Ooh, the Alfred Hitchcock film,
yes.
Huh? All right, what do they win?
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask Curtis.
Oh, all right. Well, they're going to win something.
Yeah.
I thought I printed that out for you. My bad.
Right.
I believe they have. Let me just pull up the sheet here. They
right.
are going to be winners of a pair of tickets to Bunny Bunny, Gild Radner, A Story of Love, now playing at the Mercury Theater, Chicago.
All Perfect. Right. Very, very good. That's what you can win. You can give us a call right now, 312-981-7200. Third caller is going to play Crack the Quote with us on the air, 312-981-7200. We'll play our game right after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we're going to play Crack the Quote. We've got Mark on the line. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good. I love the show. It's a great show.
Oh, well, thanks, we love Mark. Our listeners, so it's kind of a, you know, same. You're from Milwaukee. Glad you're calling in. And I'm going to give you three quotes from the movie Rear Window. One of them is actually from the movie. Two of them are not. Your job is to tell me which one it is, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And then we're going to give you a couple tickets. The first quote, number one, look, a man is assaulting a woman at 125 West 9th Street, second floor, the rear, make it fast. Number two, travel by foot or train or plane to 125 West 9th Street, second floor, the rear, make it fast. Number three.
These all sound the same.
They're not. Look through the rear window at 125 West 9th Street, second floor. Make it fast.
I'm going to guess number one.
Look, a man is assaulting a woman at 125 West 9th Street, second floor. The rear, make it fast.
I'm going to say number three.
Number three. Look through the rear window at 125 West 9th Street.
That's probably not right.
All right, we're going to have Curtis play the quote, and we'll go from there.
Look, a man is assaulting a woman at 125 West 9th Street, second floor, the rear. No, make it fast.
So that tells me that Mark is a winner,
Mark,
and Carl is not.
Job.
So you did a good job. Congratulations, Mark. You've won two tickets to Bunny Bunny, Gilda Radner, A Sort of Love Story. It's playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago. It got great reviews. I heard it's a great show, and it's a tribute play to Gilda Radner that celebrates her legacy of courage and comedy. So congratulations. Thank you for calling in, and it's so great to hear from you.
Thank you. I thought you were in Rear Window, that you were the Grace Kelly role.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? And that is a true compliment. So thank you.
You're even prettier than Grace Kelly.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, especially now.
Yes, that would be true. I'll take that compliment.
All right, Lisa. Thanks, Mark.
Bye, Mark.
All right. Well, you know what? We have Baby, Snooks, and Daddy. You know, the interesting thing about Baby, Snooks, and Daddy was Fanny Brice, who played this role, when she first went on the air in 1944, she was actually 40 years older than the character she was playing, because the character was like an 8-year-old
right.
little girl. And then she actually passed away in 1952 and was still playing the role. So at that time, she was like 50 plus years older.
I thought she started at 30 years older than
no,
the character.
No, she was 40 years. She was 40 years older.
Wow.
And then was like 50 something years older. And she played it great. I mean, she really, really did.
And if you want to see a great picture of her and read a fun fact about that, you can go to our Facebook page and we have a great photo of that with
yes.
some information below.
Absolutely. All right. So Baby, Snooks, and Daddy was really one of the nation's favorite situation comedies. And Hanley Stafford played Snooks' long-suffering, often cranky dad, Lancelot Daddy Higgins. The scripts were by a stable of writers and were overseen by Philip Rapp. And Brice was portrayed on the Broadway stage by Barbara Streisand. I know you love Barbara Streisand.
Big fan.
The musical Funny Girl.
Sure.
And its 1968 film adaptation for which Streisand won an Oscar.
Yep.
Very cool. We're going to listen to a Baby, Snooks, and Daddy episode now from actually just about a month before Fanny Brice passed away. Oh. I believe she died of a cerebral hemorrhage. So this is just like a month before her passing. May 1st, 1951. This is called Report Card Blues. Here's part one now of Baby, Snooks, and Daddy.
The Baby Snooks Show. As Baby Snooks with Hanley Stafford as Daddy and brought to you by Tums.
My daddy loves it.
Does acid indigestion and heartburn hit you after your juice and coffee in the morning? Well, just eat a couple of Tums and see how Tums sweeten your stomach almost instantly. You feel better fast. A couple of Tums after lunch and after dinner let you enjoy your food without fear of acid indigestion and heartburn. Get Tums tonight and always keep them handy. T-U-M-S, Tums for the tummy. Guaranteed to contain no soda. Still, only 10 cents a roll, 3-roll package a quarter everywhere. And now to Sycamore Terrace and the Higgins family. Well, to adults, the first of the month usually means bills. But to children, it's even worse. It means report cards. So now, let's go to the fourth grade of the Sycamore Grammar School, where the teacher, Miss Teasdale, is passing out the bad news.
Yes, Harvey, you did very well this month. And now I come to Snooks Higgins. Snooks?
Yes, Miss Teasdale.
Do you see this card I'm holding in my hand?
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
The Ace of Spades?
No.
The Seven of Clubs?
No. It's your report card. And just listen to these marks. Spelling, 40. Arithmetic, 40. And how do you account for this one? History, 10.
I guess I've been spending too much time on spelling and arithmetic.
Snooks, these marks are abominable. And to think that one of my pupils should make such a horrible showing. Oh, I'm so ashamed.
Well, don't expect any sympathy from me.
Snooks, don't you dare be pertinent. If anyone should be ashamed, it's you. Your report card sets a new record for low marks for the entire school year.
I set a new record?
Yes.
Gee, and I wasn't even trying.
Look, I've wasted enough time with you. I have other pupils, you know. Now, you just take this report card home and see that your father signs it.
But he will spank me.
Well, perhaps you deserve it.
I'm afraid to show it to him.
You will just have to face the situation.
I don't mind facing the situation, but he makes me back into it.
I want that report card back here tomorrow morning, signed by your father. Now, we'll hear no more about it.
All right.
Vera, it's very important that the dinner be perfect tomorrow night for Mr. and Mrs. Weamish.
Well, what's so important? We've had them here before for dinner.
Well, the firm's opening a new plant, and I'm hoping to be the manager of it. If we give them a good dinner, maybe he'll become expansive and offer me the job.
Well, I'm having turkey.
Fine.
Cranberry sauce.
Good.
And I think I'll make some of those dumplings like my mother makes.
Your mother's dumplings? Yes, they'll expand anybody.
Oh, is that so? My mother's dumplings are wonderful. What's wrong with her dumplings?
They're just like your mother. Heavy, lumpy, and don't agree with anybody. And just when you think you've got the thing settled, they start talking back.
Lancelot, my mother happens to be a very fine cook, and you know very well she used to run a restaurant.
Yes, I remember it very well. It was the only restaurant whose cooking was listed by Duncan Hines as subversive.
Very funny.
It's true. Believe me, your mother's food was dedicated to the overthrow of the American stomach by force and violence.
All right, I won't make dumplings. I'll make my own special biscuit.
Oh, you will? Really? Your own special biscuit?
Yes.
Oh, Vera?
Yeah?
Make dumplings. Now, let's see. With turkey, I think a white wine would be good.
Daddy!
Please, I'm busy.
But, Daddy, this is important.
Look, I'm planning a dinner for my boss and his wife. Later.
But I want you to do this now.
You always have to bother me. Look, is it something you can do yourself?
Well, I guess so.
And then do it yourself.
But, Daddy...
Do it yourself.
Well, all right. If you say so.
I do say so.
Well, if he wants me to do it myself... Lancelot Higgins. There. My report card is all signed.
Snooks Higgins.
Yes, Miss Teasdale.
About this report card of yours... You've signed your father's name to it, haven't you?
Sure.
Now can you lie like... Did you say sure?
Sure.
You mean you admit that you signed your father's name to your report card?
Mm-hmm.
Why, that's forgery, Snooks. You can go to jail for it. Now, why did you do it?
I can go to jail for it?
Yes. Now, answer the question.
I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me.
Snooks, you answer the question or I'll have you held in contempt of school. I mean, oh, now you're making me do it. Now, come on, Snooks, unless you want me to drag you down to the principal, you tell me why you forged your father's name to that report card.
Well, he told me to. He made me.
He made you? I don't believe it.
It's true. He was busy planning dinner for his boss.
Oh, poppycock.
No, turkey.
I mean, it's a lie. No parent lets his child sign his name to the report card.
Well, he did, and he didn't even look at it.
Snooks, you're lying. And I'm bringing this to your parents' attention at once. Now, you come with me.
I demand to see my lawyer.
Oh, come on. I can't believe it, Lancelot. Miss Teasdale says Snooks forged your name to her report card.
That little delinquent. Where in the world would she get an idea like that? But then what can I expect with the family she comes from? Your side, of course.
My side? Now just stop that.
Oh, Vera, are you ignoring the fact that some years ago your brother was put in jail for selling surplus war materials?
Well, it was unfair. Lots of people sold surplus war material.
Yes, but not while the war was still on.
All right, so Louis was the one exception in the family.
The one exception? How about your Aunt Mabel, the shoplifter? She'll steal anything.
Aunt Mabel is not a shoplifter. She's a kleptomaniac. It's a disease with the poor woman. She's been going to a psychiatrist to find out where she got it.
Well, I don't know where she got it, but I guarantee she stole it. Anyway, I'm glad she's going to a psychiatrist.
Well, she's not going anymore. The psychiatrist discharged her.
Oh, then she's cured?
No, he got sore when he discovered his couch was missing. But look, let's stop this. Snooks is the problem, and you'd better have a talk with her right away.
A fine time with the Weemish. She's coming over any minute. How can I keep my mind on anything?
Well, you've got to settle this thing before they get here.
Oh, all right. How can you lie like that, you little monster?
I ain't lying. You told me to sign a report card myself.
Why, I'd never do a thing like that.
But you
it's
were...
ridiculous.
Oh, no, it ain't ridiculous. You were busy with the dinner for the Weemishes, and you told me to sign it myself. You did. You did.
Don't tell me that. I remember no such thing, and I have a memory like an elephant. I never forget a thing, do you hear? Not a thing. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. Now, why did you play hooky today?
It was the report card.
Oh, yes, the report card.
Yeah.
Well, where did you lose it? I mean, why did you sign it?
But you told me to.
Snooks, you're lying. I'd never do such a thing.
Well, you did, and I ain't lying.
You are.
No.
And if you don't admit it and promise to tell only the truth, you're not getting any of the wonderful dinner we're having for the Weemishes. Now, look, it's not so terrible as long as you admit it. All of us lie now and then. I've lied. I even remember once when your mommy lied.
When was that?
When she told me someday I'd have a child. The point is, unless you admit a lie, you'll go on lying. And then it'll become a disease, just like chickenpox or the measles.
You mean I'll break out in fibs?
No. I mean it'll get you into trouble. Now look, maybe I can explain this better with a story. It's about a little girl who started out just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Signing her daddy's name to her report card and then lying about it. She wound up in a prison.
What's her name?
She doesn't have a name. She has a number. 671-435-928.
That's pretty long to remember. Doesn't she have a nick number?
No.
I want her to have a nick number.
Oh, stop.
I want her to have a nick number.
All right. We'll call her six for short. Now, let me get on with the story. When number six was a little girl, she got away with forging her father's name to her report card. From that, she went to forging checks. Then she met a man who was also a liar and a criminal.
What was his name?
We'll call him Eight. When Eight and Six met, do you know what happened?
14?
No. They became a pair of thieves operating as a team. Finally, they got caught robbing a bank. He's in jail for life, and she's still got 10 years to serve. Do you want this to happen to you?
It can't happen to me.
And why not?
Because I didn't lie in the first place.
Well, that does it. You're going to admit you lied and promise to tell the truth hereafter if I have to spank it out of you.
But I haven't been lying.
Oh, you're still putting up an argument, eh? All right, take that. How are you going to promise?
I promise. I'll just tell the truth hereafter.
That's better. Now get washed up and come down for dinner with the Weemishes. And don't be long.
I'll get even with him.
Daddy is in trouble, Lisa. He spanked the little Snooks, and she really wasn't lying.
Well, that's pretty controversial right now.
Yes, it is. We're talking about...
Can't wait for dinner. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. 1951. We're going way back. Totally different time to live in 1951 as today. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David. And it is 11:36 on a Saturday evening, and we are playing all your favorite classic radio shows, as we do every single weekend here on the greatest radio station in the world, Radio 720 WGN. We're in the Showcase studio, and there are people walking by, even though it's raining out. They're walking by. They're waving. It's always nice to see our listeners out there. They wave and hey, they give us the thumbs up. One guy gave me.
One guy didn't give you
Curtis,
the thumbs up.
Curtis, you know what? A couple, I would say about a year ago, maybe a little more than
a
year ago.
He can't stop talking about this.
Some guy came up to the window, and I was like, hi, and he gave me the double birds.
You know what's really
double
funny?
Double birds. Not one.
One of
double.
My, one of my first shifts when I was doing Dave Plyer, we had somebody who must have been drinking try to break through the glass here, like literally jumping into it, trying to break into
the
glass.
That's crazy.
There's some characters, but it's always fun to see the fans.
You know, Carl went running to the window, and he was waving with both arms and jumping up and down.
I
so the guy got
that.
Like, okay,
I just waved,
a little too excited.
And he gave me the double birds. I'll
you
never forget
You were a little
it.
Too excited.
All right. Let's see what Snooks does to Daddy here on the remainder of this Baby Snooks and Daddy broadcast.
Snooks is pretty mad at Daddy. Daddy falsely accused her of lying and even spanked her for it. But right now, everybody is busy making final preparations for the dinner Daddy's giving his boss, Mr. Weemish, and Mrs. Weemish, who haven't as yet arrived.
Oh, gosh, I hope everything goes all right, dear.
Oh, don't worry, it will.
Now, let's see. I'll sit on Mrs. Weemish's left hand. You sit on her right. Now, what'll we do with Snooks?
I'll hold her leg down.
You stop. You'll sit over there next to your mummy. And for heaven's sakes, use your table manners. I don't want the Weemishes to think we've raised a little pig. Thank heavens Uncle Louie won't be here. His manners are just ghastly.
Well, I think Uncle Louie is very polite at the dinner table.
Oh, you do, eh?
Yeah. Whenever you pass him something, he always tips his hat.
You're not supposed to be wearing a hat in the house in the first place. And forget Uncle Louie. It's your manners I'm worried about.
Oh, stop picking on the child, Lancelot.
Well, I'm not going to be embarrassed in front of the Weemishes. Some of her eating habits are terrible. Snooks, I don't want to see you soaking up the gravy with the bread. Only a big dirty pig does that.
But I like gravy.
Well, that's too bad.
Can I suck it up through a straw?
No. And another thing. I don't like your habit of standing up when you want something and reaching way out with your hand. You have a tongue, use it.
All right, but my hands are much longer.
I mean, ask for what you want. Say, may I have the water, please? May I have the butter? May I have the roast beef?
I thought we were having turkey.
All right, may I have the turkey?
It ain't ready yet.
Do you have to take everything so literally?
Oh, Lancelot, please. Don't be so stern with her. She's promised to tell the truth from now on. You don't have to keep being angry with her.
Oh, all right, all right.
Gosh, I wonder what's keeping the Weemishes.
Oh, it's probably Mrs. Weemish. The old sourpuss. Sometimes I wonder how Weemish can stand it.
Well, he's no prize himself. He looks like an old walrus.
He does that. And after he's had some of your mother's dumplings, he'll probably sound like one.
How did they ever meet in the first place?
I don't know. But there's a rumor that they both belong to the same aftershave club.
Stop. Say, how old is Mrs. Weemish anyway?
I don't know. To me, she looks like 120.
She does, doesn't she?
Of course, all those wrinkles don't help. What a face. She looks like a St. Bernard. Oh, gosh, when are they going to get... There they are now. Snooks, answer the door.
Hi, Daddy.
And don't forget that this is a very important dinner for us. I want to make a real impression on the Weemishes.
I'll do everything just like you told me.
Good. Now go answer the door. Well, dear, in a little while we'll be having dinner with the Weemishes. And who knows? Maybe it'll mean the manager's job at the new plant.
Oh, I'm sure it will, dear.
Vera, this turkey is just delicious.
Oh, yes, it certainly is.
Well, I'm so glad you like it.
Mmm, this bread tastes so good soaked in this wonderful gravy. Snooks, would you pass me another piece?
All right, if you want to be a big, dirty pig.
Why, Snooks?
Well, that's what you said about people who soak up their bread in the gravy.
That's not what I Oh, she misunderstood me, Mr. Weemish. Why, we always soak our bread in the gravy. I think I'll soak a piece myself. Let's all do it. Vera, piece of bread to soak in the gravy.
Love it, love it.
Mrs. Weemish, piece of bread to soak in your gravy. All right. Snooks?
Not me. I'm no pig.
Snooks, do you want to leave the table?
Well, I'm just saying what you told me before.
Forget it.
Yes, yes. Let's change the subject. Really, Mr. Weemish, it's wonderful having you and Mrs. Weemish over again. It's been so long.
Oh, yes, indeed. Because it's not just business. I think a lot of you, Mr. Weemish.
You do?
Yes, sir. And so does Vera.
Yeah, and they think you're an old walrus.
Well, isn't that not... What?
How can you say such a thing?
It's easy. I'm telling the truth like you say.
Oh, walrus, eh? Well, I guess I know when I've been insulted. Coming, Martha?
Oh, sit down, Harold. You are an old walrus. Besides, where's your sense of humor?
Well, I don't like it. How'd you like it if they thought you were an old walrus?
Oh, they don't think that she's an old walrus.
Well, thank heaven for that.
They think she's an old sourpuss.
What?
And you look over 120 and you got a face like a saint banard.
Like a Saint Bernard. Well, I like that.
Well, I like Saint Bernard's too. Do you ever carry a cake of brandy under your neck?
Mrs. Weemish, please, she doesn't know what she's saying.
I do too. You spanked me, so I promised to tell the truth. And that's just what I'm doing.
I've never been so insulted in my life.
Oh, please, Mrs. Weemish, please. It's all a mistake, really.
Well, Harold, don't just sit there. Do something serious. Fire him.
Fire him?
Yes.
But I haven't finished eating.
Harold?
Can I have a few more potatoes first and then break off the relationship?
Harold, do what I say.
Yes, have a few more potatoes, Mr. Weemish.
Higgins!
More cranberry sauce?
Just a bit. You're fired.
More stuffing?
Spoonful, maybe. You're through. Never has my wife been insulted as she has here in your own home. And I won't stand for it, do you hear? I won't stand for it. Pass the gravy.
Why, certainly, you are, sir. Won't you reconsider, Mr. Weemish?
No, he won't reconsider. And, Harold, I'm not staying here another moment. Come home this instant.
Oh, all right.
Harold, you seem to be taking the fact that I've been insulted rather lightly.
I am not. I'm coming. Yes, Higgins, I cannot tolerate such impertinence and behind-the-back disloyalty as you have directed against me and my wife. I'm absolutely furious with you and wish nothing further to do with you. Would you mind wrapping this up for my dog?
Mr. Weemish, and perhaps another piece of bread to soak in the gravy?
Well...
Harold!
Good day, Higgins.
But, Mr. Weemish...
Coming, Harold?
Yes, and do you have a Tums, dear? Oh, those dumplings.
Here you are, Harold. Now, come on.
Vera, I'm fired.
Yeah, sure looks like it.
You little monster, come here.
I didn't do nothing. I just told the truth after I got spanked for lying.
Yes, you told the truth all right, and this is what you're getting for it. what have you got to say to that?
Make up your mind.
Kunkel, you're supposed to be my friend. Now, put your legal mind to work and tell me how to get my job back.
Oh, this is really funny, Higgy. You spank Snooks into promising to tell the truth, then she crosses you up and tells it at the wrong time.
Yeah, you just can't trust that kid. Oh, the messes she gets me into. Sometimes I feel like quietly dropping her off a bridge.
Higgy, don't even talk that way. You couldn't do a thing like that.
I know I couldn't. There isn't a bridge around here for miles.
You know, Higgy, sometimes you're a pretty preoccupied fellow. How do you know Snooks wasn't telling the truth about signing her report card in the first place? Maybe you told her to without realizing it.
But I wouldn't be that absent-minded.
Are you kidding? I'll never forget the time Vera left you to take care of all the kids and also prepare dinner. They got you so nervous you didn't know what you were doing.
I don't remember that.
Well, I do. When I came in, the roast beef was in the bookcase. And you were in the kitchen basting the latest Book of the Month Club selection.
Hey, wait a minute. You're mentioning dinner? Bring something back.
Yeah?
Yesterday, when I was busy planning the dinner for the Weemishes, Snooks did ask me for something. And I think I told her to do it herself. Good heavens, the kid wasn't lying. And this whole mess is of my own making. Now I'll never get out of it.
No. You know, there is one thing you can try, but it'll mix things up even more.
Well, what is it?
Now take Snooks to see Weemish and have her tell him that she was mad at you and everything she said was lies.
But to do that, I have to ask her to lie. And right after spanking her for that very reason.
Ironic, isn't it? But can you think of anything else?
I'm going to hate myself, but what else can I do? See you later, Kunk. Well, Mr. Weemish will see us in a minute. Would you please do what I ask, Snooks?
I see. You want me to be a liar, huh?
Honey, there's a difference between a bad lie and a good lie. Good lies are called white lies.
They are?
Yes. And the ones you're going to tell are white lies.
Maybe, but I think that there's a little tattletale gray around the edges.
Please, honey. I made up with you for spanking you, didn't I? I bent down and let you kick me as hard as you wanted, didn't I?
Yeah, and I gave you a real good kick.
Of course, I don't think it was very fair of you to put on ice skates first. Please, honey, will you do it?
All right, but you're making a liar out of me.
I know, and I'm ashamed.
All right, come in, Higgins.
Yes, Mr. Weemish. Come on, Snooks. It's very nice of you to see me, Mr. Weemish. I was afraid maybe you wouldn't.
Never mind that. What do you want?
Well, Snooks can explain. Go ahead, Snooks.
Well, Daddy spanked me, and I wanted to get even with him. So everything I said was a lie. Just lies.
That's what you wanted Snooks to explain, Higgins?
Yes, Mr. Weemish. Well, will you explain that to Mrs. Weemish and let me have my job back?
Higgins, do you take me for an idiot? The things Snooks said couldn't be made up by a child. They were too natural. You and Vera said them, all right. And you have the audacity and the lack of moral integrity to bring your child here and make her lie to get your job back. For shame, Higgins.
I'm sorry, Mr. Weemish.
However, I never had such a wonderful dinner or such a wonderful time in years.
A wonderful time?
Oh, I couldn't show it. I'd be afraid to. But when Snooks called Martha a sourpuss and told her she looked like a St. Bernard, I could have died. I've been wanting to call her a St. Bernard for years. Oh, Higgins, I love you.
What about my job?
Oh, take a week off. By the time you get back, Martha will have forgotten all about it. And Snooks?
Yes, Mr. Weemish.
I like you. You little monster.
And I like you, you old walrus. See, Daddy, it always pays to tell the truth.
Yes, Snooks, and I promise I'll never lie again.
Yeah.
Well, hello, Snooks.
Hi, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, where are you going?
Oh, to the ice cream parlor. See? I got 40 cents.
Where did you get that much money?
Well, I said a naughty word, and my mommy gave me a dime not to say it again.
Well, where'd you get the other 30 cents?
I lost my place. There it is. I got it. I learned three new words.
Well, even though you got lost, it still sounds like a profitable business.
Yeah, and you got some naughty weights for me? I'll split with you.
Well, I'm afraid not, Snooks, but better not let your daddy hear you using naughty words.
Well, where do you think I learned them? You can hear him when he gets mad.
Never mind, Snooks. Probably your daddy's worry nerve that's bothering. Everybody has one, you know. And when hurry and worry starts it acting up, it immediately starts your stomach pumping acid. Then comes acid indigestion, heartburn, and all the miserable distress of acid-upset stomach. That's why it's so wise to always keep Tums handy. At the first hint of acid indigestion, eat a couple of Tums like candy. See how quickly Tums soothe away your distress. Make you feel fine again in no time. Get T-U-M-S. Tums for the tummy right away. Still, only 10 cents a roll, 3-roll package, a quarter everywhere. Now, here's Snooks again.
Well, Snooks, things turned out pretty lucky after all. But I certainly learned my lesson. Next time, I'll think twice before I disbelieve you.
I'm glad, because Robespierre just had an accident, and it ain't my fault.
Robespierre? Accident? What happened?
He took his hard nose and slammed it into my poor little fist.
Oh, I see. It was really his fault.
Yeah, and then he did something even worse to me.
Oh, you poor kid. What did he do?
He took the seat of his pants and kicked me in the little toe.
And none of this is your fault, eh?
No.
Oh, good night, Nellie.
Good night, Sam. And good night, everybody.
The Baby Snooks Show came to you from Hollywood and was produced by Arthur Stander and written by Sid Dorfman and Arthur Stander. Also appearing in the cast were Arlene Harris as Mummy, Frank Nelson, Elvie Allman, Ken Christie, and Vivi Janis. Don't forget to listen to the Baby Snooks Show every Tuesday at the same time. This is Don Wilson reminding you that night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. T-U-M-S. Tums for the tummy.
Jerry Colonna and Bob Hope are together again on NBC.
That is the Baby Snooks and Daddy Show. You know, quality on that is not what we normally play here, but they're so rare. I think there's like 3 or 4 half-hour Baby Snooks shows in existence. There's a lot of the quarter-hour programs, but not very many of the half-hour shows. And I just thought it would be a lot of fun to play a Baby Snooks and Daddy program. May 1st, 1951. I looked it up, Lisa. Fanny Bryce passed away 28 days later after this particular broadcast. And she played the role all the way up until she passed. And she was Baby Snooks. Yeah. I mean, and very famous Ziegfeld Follies fame with Fanny Bryce. And hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. You know what's going fast, Lisa? Super fast.
I would say your surprise boxes.
They are. The surprise boxes are going like crazy, especially the classic radio surprise box. And I got to tell you, folks, once those CDs of classic radio are gone, they are going to be gone forever. So to learn more about the surprise boxes for classic radio, also surprise boxes for classic TV and movies on DVD, and Twilight Zone CD surprise boxes, just log on to our website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com. When you go there, there will be a pop-up, tells you all about the surprise boxes. You get $150 worth of CDs or DVDs or Twilight Zone for only $39.99 plus shipping and handling. And they're coming in fast and furious. Primarily, though, it is the classic radio CDs that are going like hotcakes, Lisa.
Well, maybe if you had some hotcakes in with the CDs, they'd go a little faster.
Yeah, some Aunt Jemima syrup with that, a little butter.
What do you call it?
I love it. Syrup.
Syrup.
Yeah. What do you say, syrup?
I do.
You say syrup?
I do.
What do you say, Curtis? Syrup or syrup?
I don't mean to offend you, Lisa, but I'm with Carl. I say syrup.
No, I didn't
syrup.
Say it was wrong. I just syrup. Don't say it like
you
that.
You say sear?
Syrup.
It's like C, like S-E-A-R?
Yeah.
No, it's S-Y.
Not syrup, but syrup. What do you think, David?
Yeah.
Syrup.
Yeah, syrup. Yeah.
Syrup. Like sir? Like yes, sir?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Syrup. Syrup.
Syrup. Oh, see, David says it like I do.
And you know what else?
We know how to speak properly.
That I really want to make sure our listeners know about, and that is our app. It's a classic radio app. We built it for this show. You can go to our website, just scroll down a little, and there's a big banner, and you can just click for the Google Store or the Apple Store. The app is absolutely free.
Or ab, one or the other.
It's free. And you know what? When you get the app, there's 10 free classic radio shows on that. So everybody should be downloading it. Right, Lisa?
Right, Carl.
All right.
A quick note before we go up to David. I'm having a little bit of trouble on the text-in line. So if you're texting me, I'm not ignoring you. I'm so sorry. We're working on it. I'm going to get to it, but I don't see
She's
it quite yet.
She's been working on it.
I've been working on it for like an hour.
Say this,
I can't figure it out.
Pancake syrup.
Yeah.
Syrup.
Syrup. And I will say this, when Lisa is working on something, she doesn't fall asleep. So I like that.
Keeps me awake. So otherwise, I'd be snoring away.
Yeah, you would need that
sleep apnea specialist.
All right, when we come back from the news, we're going to tune in to a terrific episode of Suspense from 1944 called The Woman in Red. And then after that, Barry Craig, confidential investigator, will be here till 2 a.m. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David. Happy Sunday, everybody. It is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. And to my right, the very vivacious Lisa Wolf. And we tuned into Baby Snooks and Daddy in our first hour. This hour, it is Katina Paxinow in The Woman in Red on Suspense. And then hour three, Barry Craig, confidential investigator. We play all your favorite classic radio shows Saturday and Sunday nights right here on WGN, 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. every Saturday and Sunday. Although, you know what, Lisa? I will not be here next weekend.
I know, we're going to miss you, but I'm going to co-host a show with Dave Plyer. We are putting our heads together and making some plans. And
am I going to have a job when I get back from my business trip?
I don't know. I guess you'll have to take the risk.
I mean, I'm going to listen. I'm going to be listening.
I think you should listen. You're going to miss being here when you're not here.
Maybe I'll text and be like, gosh, not so good, you guys. You know, I'll pretend I'm somebody else.
Well, I
Carl's
can see,
much
funny?
Better.
I can see that there's texts coming in. They're just not popping up. But I see the number keep going up and up and up, and they're just not popping up. So
what?
The texts. The texts. They're coming in. I just can't see them.
This is just over his head, Lisa. Don't even.
Yeah, I know. It's above. Anyhow, don't worry your pretty little head about it.
Okay, I won't. All right. This hour, as I say, suspense. So we are going to play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote. What movie is it, Lisa?
The movie is The Green Mile.
Ooh, good movie.
It's a great movie.
All right. So the number to call, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
They're going to win two tickets to see Bunny Bunny, Gilda Radner, A Sort of Love Story at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right. We'll take the fourth caller, 312-981-7200. Call now. Let's play the game after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
I see Roger dancing up there. We're playing Crack the Quote. We've got Gary on the line. Hey, Gary.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, glad you called in. Glad you got through. We're going to play a little crack the quote with us. The Green Mile is the movie. You ready to go?
Yeah, I just watched that movie a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I guess you just knew it was going to happen, right?
Oh, I was just surprised I got in.
I'm glad you got through. I'll give you three quotes. You tell me which is the right one. Number one, an eye for an eye will make the world blind. Number two, violence won't solve anything, but it sure makes me feel good. Number three, I know a violent man. I deal with them day in and day out. There doesn't seem to be any real violence in him.
Do I get Carl to help me out here?
You
know what? He's really not a good lifeline,
I'm
but go for it.
I'm not too good at it. But if I was going to guess, Gary, I'd say three.
Yeah, that was my first guess, too. Hmm. All right, I'm going to go with me and Carl say three.
Yeah.
All right, three is I know a violent man. I deal with him day in and day out. There doesn't seem to be any real violence in him. All right, Curtis, let's see.
I know a violent man. I deal with him day in and day out.
There doesn't seem to be any real violence in him.
Well, you
we're
know,
good, Gary.
He says it better than I do, but you are right, and you got the right answer. So good job, both of you. He was a good lifeline.
Congratulations to me.
That's right. He doesn't win, but you do. You've won two tickets to Bunny Bunny, Gilda Radner, sort of love story. It's playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago. It's a great show. It's a tribute play to Gilda Radner, and it's written by a lifelong friend of hers from Saturday Night Live. I hope you enjoy the show, and thank you so much for calling in.
Where's the Mercury Theater?
It's on is it Lincoln? It's on the north. It's in Lincoln Park area. I can't remember the address.
It's next to Venus because it's Mercury.
You know what?
Venus,
might be on
Earth,
Southport.
Mars.
Yeah,
Curtis, it's located on
Neptune.
Yeah, there's Neptune.
It's 3745
North Southport,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
And then, Gary,
Southport.
You know what planet Lisa's from?
Uranus.
I'm going to say, listen, Venus has to be Venus. Men are from Mars, right?
That's
you
right.
Got it.
All right, congrats, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. All right, it's time for Suspense. This stars Katina Paxinow in The Woman in Red from April 6, 1944. Let's tune it in. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Roma Wines presents Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you the remarkable actress whose performance in the Paramount picture For Whom the Bell Tolls won her an Academy Award, Katina Paxinow. And so with The Woman in Red and with the performance of Madame Paxinow, we again hope to keep you in suspense. In all of London, few houses were so fine, so correct, so austere, and yet gracious with age as number 30 Henrik Square. That was true of its reception room, true of its long, quiet hallway along which the young man led the girl.
Aunt Rita, this is Miss Julia Ross.
The woman rested her knitting in her lap and slowly turned around. She was a giant of a woman of 60 in a bright red dress. For several seconds, she stared fixedly across at Julia. Then, in an instant, a soft, gentle smile came on her face.
Perfect. How perfect.
I beg your pardon?
Here. Come over here, child. Let me look at you. That's it. Over there, child. Sit there on the divan. And Carl, I think I shall have my milk now. And Miss Ross will have some with me. Will you? Won't you, Miss Ross?
Some milk? Oh, but I never...
Some warm milk and a biscuit. Of course you will. I always find it very sustaining. Carl, you heard the young lady. And stop staring at her. You've seen a pretty girl before.
Was I staring? Excuse me, Miss Ross.
Harry now like a nice boy.
Is he your secretary?
Let us say that he has been substituting until I find someone like you.
You mean you think I will do?
Don't you?
Well, all I know is when I saw your advertisement in the paper, Miss Crable, I couldn't believe my eyes. Wanted secretary, Irish girl, blonde hair, age about 25. It was all so perfect. It sounded just, well, it was like me.
And just like Sheila. That was my former secretary, Miss Ross. You, who passed away just recently.
Oh.
She had been with me many years.
I'm so sorry, Miss Crable.
I had the feeling that my loss might be lessened if I could really replace her. An old lady's whim, of course, because no one is ever exactly like someone else. You, for example, I'm sure you have friends, acquaintances. Relatives, perhaps, you see now and then. Sheila didn't...
But you see, I don't. What I mean is, my parents aren't living, and so far as friends or acquaintances are concerned, I hadn't had much time lately, and... Well, my landlady, of course, I know her, but...
Unbelievable, Miss Ross, because it's so perfect. You see, the less time you have for outside attractions, the more time you have for me.
The milk, Aunt Rita, and the biscuits. Will this table do here?
That will be fine, dear. And leave us alone.
Oh, very well. My aunt is a very domineering woman, Miss Ross.
But also a generous one, I think. Your milk, dear. And a biscuit?
Oh, just the milk, thank you. Miss Crabo, there's something you must know.
Well, don't hesitate, child.
Miss Crabo, I'm afraid I'm not quite what you think. I mean, I've never really done any secretarial work before. I've had some business training, a little, but not actual experience. I mean it, Miss Crabo. I lied in what I wrote you. I wanted the position and I needed it so much. And...
You silly girl.
You mean... You still want me?
Certainly. Now finish your milk before it gets cold.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, there will be very little secretarial work for you to do. I shall want a companion. Now, I shall want you to start immediately. You will, of course, live here in the house and...
Live in the house?
But of course, you are my companion.
Oh, but I didn't understand that I... Yes. Well, then... I think perhaps I should make plans accordingly. I mean, I'd better leave now. I shall want to go to my boarding house and cancel my lodging.
Oh, there will be plenty of time for that, child. Carl and I generally take an afternoon stroll and would like you to...
But you see, there'll be other arrangements. People I must see and
people?
Things to...
But you said you knew no people.
Oh, yes. Well, Miss Crabo, I have no qualifications for this position. Oh.
Why, child? What's the matter?
I don't know. Suddenly, I feel so drowsy.
Well, then, I would just lie back on the divan.
But there's no reason for it.
Oh, but there is, child. You are weary from the strain, the uncertainty, the ceaseless search for work. In a strange and friendless city.
The milk.
Oh.
There was something
and
in it.
So you relax. Your nerves. They go to sleep.
Yes. Sleep.
Carl. Oh, Carl.
Yes, Aunt Rita.
Have you finished the note,
oh,
dear?
Yes, only this moment.
Well, don't just stand there. Let me see.
Aunt Rita. Please, she's so harmless.
And so perfect. And now read me the note.
Oh. To Department KL, Southern Development, leaving at once for Dublin, Ireland. We'll communicate in 10 days.
10 days, Carl? We won't need so much time. Make that 5.
Just as you say, Aunt Rita.
Then sign it Sheila Campbell and post it to British Intelligence.
Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines bring you as star Madame Katina Paxinou, whom you have heard in the prologue to The Woman in Red by Anthony Gilbert. Tonight's adventure in Suspense.
Feeling better, Julia, after your little nap?
No. No, I don't feel better.
Well, the walk and a little something to eat will do wonders for you. There is a little tea shop up here.
I don't want anything to eat. And please don't hold onto my arm.
Oh, now, child, is that a way to talk? You seemed a bit shaky, that's all. Here we are. Carl, you wait with Julia.
Oh.
I'll just look in first to see that it's no to come.
And now you have to hold my arm.
Oh, no, wait, Miss Ross. I don't have to hold... Hey, no, don't!
Let me go!
What are you doing, Miss Ross? Why do you run like that?
Please, don't you understand? If I'm to move in with Miss Crabo, I've got to get in touch with my landlady.
But there'll be plenty of time.
Plenty of time? What do you want with me? Why are you both...
Oh, Bob.
Yes, Aunt Rita?
Come along, you two.
No.
Oh, please, you're making yourself worried about nothing. My aunt, it is just that she's a peculiar...
Hurry, children.
Then remember that I am here.
I have already ordered for us.
Oh, fine, Aunt Rita. Our table, this is it?
Yes, sir, here in the corner. Miss Craver.
Thank you, Mr. James. And Sheila will sit here to my left.
Of course. Miss Sheila? Miss Sheila?
What?
This is your place here, Miss Sheila.
Sheila? Why are you calling me Sheila? What is it? Why are they laughing?
Pay no attention, dear. Just sit down, please.
This woman called me Sheila. You both did. My name is...
I know, dear. It is Julia. Everything is all right.
Shall I serve the tea now?
If you will, please. Now, Sheila, sit down, dear, like a nice girl.
No.
What, dear?
I'm going to the restaurant.
Sheila!
It's all right, Miss Crabo. Don't bother. There's no other exit from that room.
Oh, I'm so sorry to impose on you, Mr. James. I had no idea she could be so difficult.
Oh, don't give it a thought. Once you explained the situation, we were only too glad to help. Of course, I'd never seen your secretary. I had no idea that...
It's only a recent development.
Yes. Shall I pour the young lady's tea now?
No, thank you. I can manage.
Yes. You know, I was just saying to Mrs. Blandin the other day, I says, I wonder if Miss Crabo and her nephew are still in the neighborhood, I says. Why, they haven't been in my shop for ages, I says. And she says, no,
they... Yes. You see, Mrs. James, we don't dare leave her for long. For her own protection, that is.
Protection?
Yes, we are a little worried about suicide.
Oh, yes.
Aunt Rita, Sheila's coming.
Well, just call me in case I can help.
Thank you. Oh, here you are, dear. Carl, help Sheila into her chair.
Oh, yes. Sheila?
Thank you, Carl.
Relax now, dear, and drink your tea. It's all ready for you.
My tea in this cup? No, I won't drink it.
You won't drink it? Sheila, what? You're pouring it into your saucer. Dear, everybody's staring at you, laughing at you.
There's nothing for them to laugh at. I simply prefer to pour my own cup of tea. And that's exactly what I shall do.
But I... Dear, you don't think I... Do you really believe that I put something in that first cup of tea?
Yes. Yes, I do. You did it before, and there's no reason to think you wouldn't do it again.
Sheila! Very well, then. Drink your tea. Only hurry. I don't think I can endure much more.
Never mind. I shall hurry. I'm just as eager to leave as you. And I'm going straight to the police.
Oh, now you're not starting that again.
Are you insane? Do you think I'm helpless, that I can't get away from you? That I shall simply stand here and... Oh, it's happening.
What, dear? What's happening?
You had it in the teapot.
Oh, you're tired again, aren't you, child?
Is there something I can do, Miss Craver?
These attacks, Mrs. James, they leave her quite exhausted. If you'd be good enough to open the door.
Of course, Miss Craver, of course.
No. No.
She must be taken straight to her room, Carl. Please, if you just give her a hand. That's it. That's fine. You are really such a help to me, Carl.
How come you never say that, Lisa?
You're such a help
to me, Carl.
Because you're not.
Yeah, that explains
thorn
it.
In my
That's
side.
Why you never say it. I guess. That is, you know, I pronounce her name Katina Paxinow, and he said Paxin.
He's probably right.
Probably, but it's Paxinou.
Maybe that's Paxinow. Just a Paxinow. French way Paxinow. To do it.
Paxinow.
You're probably
Maybe
right.
Peter Sellers would say, Katina Paxinow.
Yeah, you're probably saying it right.
It's not my dog.
He's probably saying it wrong.
All right, the woman in red on suspense. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes.
Chicago's political conversation, the Sunday Spin.
The March primary is now only weeks away, and in Democratic contests, the battles are shaping up as a referendum on Speaker Mike Madigan. We'll talk to Daniel Biss about his Democratic race for governor, Comptroller Susana Mendoza about state finances, and Marie Newman about her challenge to Congressman Dan Lipinski.
The Sunday Spin with Chicago Tribune political reporter Rick Pearson, later this morning at 7 on 720 WGN.
We had a very nice text a little while ago. Someone saying that they own my book. They bought my book that I signed for them and everything, and they wanted to buy another one. But I don't have the pop-up up anymore because the pop-up is being used by the surprise boxes. But, folks, if you go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, and you scroll down, you will see a banner for my book, The Top 100 Classic Radio Shows. You will see a banner there. So just if you want the book, which I co-wrote with Martin Grams, and I will be happy to autograph it to you and sign it personally to you. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, look for the banner, Top 100 Classic Radio Shows. It's a big coffee table book. It's about a four-pound book, and talks all about the top radio shows of all time. There are CDs in there. There are digital downloads. It's a lot of fun.
It is, and you can always go to Amazon. You don't sign it, but it's a great way to buy a book. Of course, yeah. Amazon.com is always the best.
I mean, everybody buys from Amazon now, but yeah. You're right. I can't sign it if you buy it from Amazon. Yeah. So,
but you still get the great book.
But my signature could devalue it.
That's true. Know?
So I you're better off getting it
that's
at
what I was thinking.
Amazon. All right, it is 12:30 in the morning, and we're going to take a break for news. When we come back, it's the conclusion to Suspense. Then we're going to hear a good detective adventure on Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator. It's time for 12:30 news here on WGN with Roger Battish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, Lisa, you think the worst of our weather is behind us? I mean, you know, I mean, spring is when? Spring is sometime in April, right?
Right. And it's
so,
on the end of
just
February.
Just starting
here.
March here pretty soon.
Well, it's not snowing.
This
at
week
least
will
raining.
Be March. I mean, that's
yeah.
good, right?
Yeah, that's good.
And then after March comes April.
Well,
I'm
you've
pretty
got
sure
your months
I've
down
got
now.
That down.
You got all 12 of them down?
And then May.
Good.
Right?
You're good.
After that, I can't remember.
It's a lot to remember. Yeah. I gotcha.
It's been a long time since I've been in school, you know.
Did you learn that
many,
in school?
Many years ago.
Yeah.
You know, in school, when I was in school,
yeah,
I never once, not even one time, not even one year, ever had a geography class.
What? A G what? It's a big
I had to make
word.
Sure I was saying it right. Geography.
It's a big word. Four
I never
syllables.
Had, let me see how many syllables
Four.
That
Four.
Is. Geography. You're right. How do you know that without putting your hand on your chin? And
I'm quick that way.
Yeah, I never had a geography class and never had foreign language class.
Really?
Never.
In college, you didn't take a foreign language?
No.
In high school?
I did not. When I was in college, I studied to be an astronaut. Did
Is
you know that,
that right?
Curtis?
I didn't know you studied to be an
yeah.
astronaut. But
I took up space.
I do know. I knew that was coming.
Roger. Roger's head is
I couldn't
somebody.
Speak fast
I
enough,
get
Curtis.
Somebody
I couldn't warn
it.
You fast enough.
I know. Every single time I get somebody with
did
it.
He, did he, you're on to him now, Curtis.
I am. I'm okay. starting. You know, now that I'm starting to fill in a little bit more here when Shantae's out, it's. I'm starting to get
but,
it.
But good. You know what,
it's just
Curtis,
taking it, you some time, but you're there.
But Curtis, yeah. in all reality, I graduated with the highest temperature
don't,
in my class.
Don't.
I didn't say anything this time.
I know.
I didn't say anything this time.
You paused and let him finish. Yeah. By the way, the reason why he didn't take any foreign language class,
mm-hmm.
he was having enough trouble with English.
Exactly. There's a lot to learn. He's still learning.
Hey, listen, English has a lot of words.
I teach him new words every weekend.
There's a
don't
lot
I?
Of words.
Well,
yeah.
he had a remedial geography
do.
Class. Did you know that?
Now, geography,
a remedial geography
I
class.
Am not good at.
You know, here's the thing. I get the words pretty close to right pretty much every time.
You
but
change a few
when you sound them out, that's good.
People yeah. can understand what I'm saying.
Sometimes you're one letter off.
I'm like
that's
one,
the thing. I always say, Carl's one letter off.
Transpose a letter here or there with another letter.
People just understand what
like
you mean.
Like syrup. It's
what?
I say syrup.
We were
she
having
says
a debate.
That's pronunciations. That's not spelling.
Right. That's a
that's
little
true.
Bit different. And I'm not sure one is right or wrong, other than the fact that when I do it, it's probably right. But
yeah.
there might be a different a region that pronounced it your way.
Well, right. Sure.
You know, we've been on the air a long time together, and I'll say something, and Lisa will go,
I'll
and she'll correct
that.
Me, you know?
Well, only
and
when you're
she's
wrong.
She's usually right, because Lisa has, what, 12 master's degrees?
I
how many
can't
master's?
Even keep track,
she's like 12 or 13 master's degrees. Mm-hmm. And I have none. and she won't even let me borrow one from her. I was hoping that she would let me like Xerox them or photocopy
them.
They
are for sale.
I just want to photocopy them and then white out your name, put my name on there, yeah, and then put them up in my office.
Oh. What would you be a master of, though?
My own domain.
Thank you.
A master of the Xerox machine.
All right, it's time for more suspense. And I'm dying to know how this woman's name is pronounced. It's Paxinou, Katina. Somebody texted and says she's Greek, not French, right? Katina Paxinou.
Somebody did text in
Paxinou.
That, yes. Oh, and you know what?
What?
Just you know, yeah, we had a text in that said 23 days to spring.
Okay.
So we can count down. Thank you, Mark.
Wow, I appreciate that. Let's now tune in to the conclusion of Suspense.
Here we are, Sheila. Right here. Now, just go to bed, dear.
Let me alone.
Come along then, Carl. Sheila is quite tired.
Yes, Aunt Rita, I shall.
You said you'd always be here. You've got to help me.
What can I do?
Here. I've had it in my pocket.
A note.
Are you coming, dear?
Right away, Aunt Rita.
It's to my landlady. I wrote it in the restroom at the tea shop. Here, mail it to her. It's my only chance.
But I can't keep this.
Oh, Carl!
She's coming. Yes, Aunt Rita.
You can do it. You've got to do it.
Good night, Sheila.
How very slow you are, Carl. Oh,
was I so very long?
You like her, I can see that. A letter, I imagine. She gave you a letter to post?
A letter? Oh, no, I was just locking the door.
Ah, yes, of course. Perhaps I have letters on my mind, dear. After that episode with Sheila. The first Sheila Campbell, that is. Dear, hand me my knitting.
Please.
That's a nice boy. Do you know, I'm continually amazed at the stupidity of these English. Can you imagine that girl, that supposedly trained agent, dropping that note? And addressed, mind you, to the British intelligence. It was very alert of you, Carl, finding it.
Thank you. Enough. You excuse me, I'm rather tired.
Yes, this espionage, it's not a restful service. Sometimes I wonder if Burling really appreciates the risk we have taken. Yes, the girl had to be disposed of. There was no doubt of it. That was her report on us. All the facts...
Aunt Rita, we've gone over this 1,000 times. Really, I'm tired.
Yes. You were right in realizing what had to be done. It was just that you acted too...
Please, Aunt Rita, explain
all that. Hastily, too thoughtfully, too violently.
I couldn't help it, I tell you. She rushed into the telephone room out there. I ran after her, and that stupid catch lock pinned us in. She went to pieces, pounding on the door, screaming, tearing at me. I didn't know what I was doing. There was that bookend, the big one. I lost my head, that's all. It's all your fault. Why didn't you lock the door? Where were you?
I simply want you to remember that every incident counts. Because of you, we cannot produce Sheila Campbell's remains. And we certainly can't allow the police to tear up the cellar to find them. Because of you, we shall have to produce a substitute body. A substitute Sheila Campbell, who will satisfy the authorities completely. We have her, and I don't intend to lose her. The note, please.
The note?
The one that girl just gave you to mail.
I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is you don't have to use this girl. You could get somebody else, somebody just as good. She's not right for it.
Not right for it. A girl who denies her identity, who shrieks of drug drinks, persecution. She's ideal. The police will accept her as a suicide without giving it a second thought.
Yes, if they knew she was really insane, but she isn't. Don't you see? She isn't.
She isn't. Just ask those people at the tea shop and that foolish Mrs. James. She will tell you. She will tell the whole neighborhood.
Oh, Mrs. James, a few neighborhood gossips. They aren't enough. You have to have someone professional and authority.
Listen to me. Our note to British intelligence will divert them for just 5 days. Within that time, Julia Ross must commit suicide. And we will see that she does.
No. No, I won't. I won't go through with it, I tell you.
I see. What a pity it would be if the police learned who was the last person seen with the first Sheila Campbell.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't turn me over.
This espionage call, it's a very demanding trade. A note, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. I knew it was an oversight.
Yes, sir.
Could you tell me if Miss Crabo lives here?
Why, yes, this is her home, but she's rather busy upstairs, however.
Oh,
yes, Andreita?
Was that someone at the door? I thought... Oh.
How do you do, Miss Crabo? My name is Turner, Dr. Turner.
Dr. Turner?
Yes, I happened to drop into the tea shop yesterday, Mrs. James' shop, you know, and she told me about your situation.
Yes?
Well, I thought I might be of some service. My field, you see, is psychiatry.
Yes, I see. Oh, how very thoughtful, Doctor. Please, won't you come right up?
Thank you.
Miss Campbell's room is up in this floor, Doctor. I thought you might as well see her at once. I know how busy you must be.
Yes. Well, the case has been quite difficult, Miss Crabble.
In many ways, yes, Dr. Turner. Naturally, I feel that someday, with professional guidance and with those things, I can give her patience, understanding. Mm-hmm. I can bring her out of the darkness. Until then, here we are. Sheila. Sheila, dear. That is Dr. Turner. Step right in, Doctor. He's coming to visit you, dear.
How are you, Sheila? How do you feel?
Doctor, I rather think my presence will interfere. Mr. James has undoubtedly explained. If you don't mind...
Yes. That might be best. Won't you talk to me? It's all right, Sheila. Believe me, I'm a doctor.
You're no doctor.
Now, Sheila.
Don't call me Sheila. You're here to help her. Help her keep me prisoner here in this house.
Stop it.
Help her drive me out of my mind. Help her. Yes, help her to murder me.
Sheila, pull yourself together.
She's told you everything.
You can't afford to act like this.
Told you how to act.
You must have.
Why don't you leave me alone? Why don't you go away?
Oh, excuse me, Dr. Turner, but I became a little bit uneasy.
Yes, I can understand.
Well, Doctor?
Yes, it's persecution mania, clearly enough. She has all the symptoms. The deep melancholia, the stubborn, hysterical insistence that she's about to be done away with.
Yes?
I happen to be attached to the King James General Asylum, and I'm somewhat familiar with this type of case. There is one important thing, Miss Crabo. Over here, please.
Yes, Doctor?
The matter of Miss Campbell's protection.
Her protection?
Yes, from herself. You undoubtedly are not aware of it, but her type is often inclined toward suicide.
How dreadful.
In case those tendencies should become apparent, naturally you'd let me know.
Naturally, Doctor.
She would then require professional care. Meanwhile, I'm sure your own treatment will be as effective as any. Patience and understanding.
Torture me like this, will they? Murder me here in this house.
Sheila!
No, I won't let them. I'll kill myself first.
Miss Campbell.
I'll kill myself. That's what I'll do.
The window. Stop her. Carl. Oh, Carl.
Yes, the window.
That's
it, the window. I'll jump through the window.
Young woman, control yourself.
Let me go. Don't let me jump.
What's going on here? What happened?
Well, this girl, she just tried to kill herself. I'm afraid this changes things, Miss Crabble. She must be put away.
Put away?
Yes, as soon as possible. I'll have the men come at once.
You mean take her away from me? But you can't. I've looked after her myself. Why can't I go on doing that?
Because it's beyond you now, Miss Crabble.
No,
I'm sorry, but there's nothing else I can do. Would you be good enough to direct me to your telephone?
Telephone?
Yes, I wish to order a car. Some men from the asylum.
Of course. There is a small telephone room right on down the hall. This way, please.
I know how you must feel, Miss Crabble. But you see, it's the...
The telephone, Dr. Turner, is in this room, right here. Just sit down there at the desk.
Well, thank you. You're sure the young man can handle the girl? I mean...
I will go back myself and take charge.
Well, that will be safer, I'm sure. Excuse me. Hello? Turner speaking. Yes, Dr. Turner. I'd like you to send a car right away. And three men.
The address? It's number 30... just a moment. Miss Crable. Miss Crable.
Yes, Dr. Turner.
I can't open the door. It's locked.
Oh, sorry, Doctor. I'll have to get the keys from Carl.
Keys? To unlock this door?
This very special lock, Dr. Turner.
You don't need any keys. Just open the door from your side. Miss Crable, Miss Crable, where are you? Miss Crable.
Andrita, she won't stop crying. I just can't get her to stop.
I will get her to stop. A clever one, aren't you, child? Pretending to commit suicide so the doctor would take you away.
The doctor, where is he?
A splendid idea you had, leaping out that window. We'll see if we can help you this time.
No, don't come near me.
Carla, we've only a very few seconds. Get her across the window.
Don't make me do it, Andrita. Please, you don't.
You wretched, sniveling coward. Do you want us both to hang? Help me get this girl to that window.
You'll be sorry you made me, Andrita. You will! I couldn't help it, Dr. Turner. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I just lost my head, that's all. But she made me do it. She made me do it. Don't you see? Don't you understand how it was? She made me do it. She drove me, Dr. Turner.
All right, now settle down. And do stop calling me Dr. Turner.
Stop calling you doctor. You?
Well, no, I'm not a psychiatrist. But I'm going to see that you meet one. I happen to be from British Intelligence, Carl. I suppose I have you to thank for that letter.
What? Letter?
Yes, the one supposedly signed by Sheila Campbell, telling us she was off to Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, yes.
It would communicate with us in 5 days.
Well, Aunt Rita, she made me do that, too.
Ah, that was an inexcusable mistake, Carl. You see, Sheila would never have written Dublin, Ireland. No, an Irishman assumes that everybody knows where Dublin is. How about that, Miss Ross? Am I right?
Well, I know where it is, all right. And I'm going back there as fast as I can.
Oh, now, Julia, London isn't as bad as all that, you know.
Maybe not. I suppose it all depends upon the murderers you meet.
Why, child, you wouldn't want to meet a nicer lad than Carl here. After all, it isn't everybody who'd pitch his aunt through a bedroom window just to save your life. Yes, he's really a very nice boy. Sergeant. Better take him down to the cellar now and have him show you where he buried Sheila Campbell.
Andrita, she made me do it.
I know, she made you do that too. A woman of character, Miss Crabo. I'm sure you'll miss her very much. But that's the way it goes. This espionage, Carl, is a very uncertain trade.
And so closes The Woman in Red, starring Katina Paksinou. Tonight's tale of suspense. Spotted about the globe, wherever wine grapes grow, there are a few wineries whose products are made for world enjoyment. Among such wineries, right here in California, are those of Roma. And we who live in America have the pleasure of enjoying Roma wine at exceptionally low cost. For we buy it free of duty and free of excessive shipping costs. For instance, Roma California Sherry is the queen of appetizer wines. And not only that, but a wine so delicious it is suitable to serve at any time, cool or chilled. But no matter what your preference may be, you will find a Roma wine costing far less than you would expect to pay for such distinguished wine. In Roma, you have the old-world art of winemaking, plus the extra care, constant tasting and testing, which modern knowledge adds to that ageless art. That's why Roma wines have a universal appeal, why they are America's largest-selling wines. I'll spell out the name for you. R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Katina Paxinou. I hope you enjoyed our suspense play this evening and that you don't hate me too much. I'm not really as bad as that. Next week, I know you will want to listen when Mr. Orson Welles will be your star.
Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Don't forget, then, next Thursday for Orson Welles in Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is Suspense, April 6, 1944, The Woman in Red, starring Katina Paxinou, and also Hans Conried in that, Ian Wolfe, and that was produced, directed, and edited by William Spear, and that was sponsored by Lisa's favorite beverage, Roma Wines. And you know why I know, Curtis, that that is her favorite beverage?
How could you possibly know?
Just go to the WGN parking lot.
Okay.
Go into her truck, and there's about 30 or 40 empty bottles of Roma wine in there.
Wow.
Yeah. She polishes them off, three of them before she drives home.
Yeah. I drink them while I'm at the station. Yeah, I drink it while I'm driving.
Big Roma
I just
wine.
Keep drinking Roma. And let me spell it for you. It's R-O-M-A, in case you weren't sure.
Yeah. That was. he's like,
I have to go to very special liquor stores to buy Roma because they just don't sell it anywhere.
She just
they stock
loves
it. Just
how far do you have to go to get it?
Oh, far.
Yeah.
Very Rome. Far.
Like hundreds of miles away?
I go to Rome.
Yeah, you go to Roma.
She just flies on her private jet there.
Yeah, right. Gets,
we head out to
limo
Rome.
Picks her up.
45, 50 bottles of Roma wines.
And it has a nice aroma.
Let's take a break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. Hey, Roger.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie Three Billboards?
Yes, I did. Awesome.
Wait, can you wait? I want Carl to say the entire title because he generally messes up the location. So don't say it aloud.
Okay. Three billboards in Ebbing.
Outside.
Oh, outside. Three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Ooh, you got it. I got it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Roger.
He generally says Mississippi.
When did you see it?
How great was that movie? I saw it. I on-demanded it.
Okay. All right.
You know? Is that a verb, on-demanded?
Yeah, on-demanded.
I like that.
I on-demanded it.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that.
I know.
I'm very proud of myself.
Well,
the
Bridget
one...
and I saw it about a month ago.
Did you went to the theater then?
No. So. No, we got our...
Oh, right.
We got our copy.
You get your copies
yeah,
on DVD.
Yeah, we had to get it and watch it and vote on it. Well, I got the vote. She didn't get to vote, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What a film that is.
Well, tough luck.
Wasn't it her birthday?
That was something else.
Oh, it was your anniversary this week.
It was anniversary and her birthday and Valentine's Day within 7 days.
Wow. You had some cute pictures.
That saves you.
I loved your
picture,
Roger.
No, it doesn't save me anything.
I would think that saves you.
All in one.
No. Not if I value my life.
Whatever you get her.
I love the picture of you with the mustache and the suit. You looked great.
Yeah, my little Robert Hall suit.
Yeah,
my double knit suit.
Seriously, you looked really good.
Zoot suit?
My zoot suit.
You looked great. I'll have to show it to you, Carl.
I want to see that.
Yeah, I look like, in one picture, I look like Jerry Colonna with the raised eyebrows and the big hand. Handlebar mustard.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Oh, man. All right. Well, great movie.
Well, great. I'm glad you finally got to see it. It's a marvelous movie.
Yeah.
It's great
fantastic.
Acting, great writing.
Well, I have the Oscars.
Frances
will be,
McDormand.
Next weekend.
She mm-hmm. was something else, man, in that movie. Wow.
And I just saw last night, because I'm cheap and it came for rent cheap. But Israel Esquire movie where what's his name plays a lawyer.
Who?
What's his name?
What?
What's his name?
What?
I'll hold on a second. Just no, because you have to see it. Because I know you can on demand it again.
Are you trying to say something, Roger?
Huh?
Are you trying to say something? Spit
is
it out.
He not? Is he not? Roman J. Israel Esquire?
Huh?
Yes.
What?
It's a movie.
Okay.
The lawyer has...
Carl's, you've already lost him. We'll talk to Nick about it tomorrow night.
It's just, it's an excellent movie.
All right, what is it now? Is it a drama?
Yes, it is a drama.
Wait, I just woke up.
Wait, what movie?
It's like an igloo.
You're a drama.
It's like an igloo down here, Roger.
Oh, wait a minute.
The WGN Igloo Studios.
Oh, yeah, now I see your jackets.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so who's in the movie?
Denzel Washington.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, then it's got to be good.
It's got to be great.
And he was a producer on it.
Ah, okay. So, well,
I'm glad you got that thought out.
If you're looking for another movie to watch.
Okay, now what's it called?
Roman. Just reach over. I know you can reach him from there. I know you can.
What is it called? What?
Who's in it?
I'm going to do the
news.
All
right, one more time. What's it called?
I'm going to do the news now.
What's it called? Seriously.
Roman J. Israel, Esquire.
And who's the producer?
Okay.
Wait a minute. Right. Now, wait a minute. Who's reaching over to Smack?
All right.
I'm confused.
I know.
Very good. I will check it out. Anything Denzel Washington's in, I love. So yeah. He's one of the best actors in the world. All right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
All right, we've got Stephen on the line. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Good, good.
I love your voice.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you.
What about mine?
I'm blushing.
Stephen.
Yes.
Come on, man. Share the love a little bit.
Okay.
I like your voice.
Oh, thank you.
It's a big love fest here. You know, we're all happy. So we're going to do a little crack the quote. The movie is The Pianist. I've got three quotes. One of them is the right one. Two of them are not. And we'll see if you can what you can do. Either way, you're a winner, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
What?
Just like you.
I'm right. Well, I try.
Okay.
Okay, number one. Never spend your money before you've earned it. Number two, you know what we did the last war? We made a hole in the table leg and hid the money in there. Number three, war is what happens when language fails.
I would say number one.
Number one, never spend your money before you've earned it.
I'm going to say number two.
Number two, you know what we did the last war? We made a hole in the table leg and hid the money in there. All right, Curtis.
There's no more tweet in the last war. Hey, we made a hole in the table leg and hid the money in there.
Well, Carl got this one, but Stephen did not. But the good news is it doesn't make any difference because you're still a winner and Carl doesn't win. So you still get the Twilight Zone CDs. They are fantastic. They are hosted by Stacey Keach and they have the best stars in them. I've even been in a couple of them and they are wonderful. So congratulations on that. And thank you so much for calling in. We so appreciate your support.
Okay. Thanks again.
Take care.
Thanks, Stephen. All right, Steven's a big winner. Won some Twilight Zone radio drama CDs. But right now it's time for Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator. This was a really good detective series that came to NBC Radio in 1951, lasted all the way to 1955. And Barry Craig was a laid-back PI working out of New York. He was your man when you couldn't go to the cops. Ralph Bell portrayed his associate, Lieutenant Travis Rogers, and the casts were New York's finest, like Elspeth Eric, Santos Ortega, and Arnold Moss. Blake Edwards, Lisa, from the Pink Panther fame, wrote and directed a 1952 TV pilot, but it was unsold. That would have been good if you had Barry Craig on TV. We have a great episode for you now called The Sweet Larceny from March 2nd, 1955. Here's William Gargan in part one of Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator.
Exercise can be beneficial or it can kill you. One guy I know walked himself to death. But still it figured, seeing that the walk he took was the last mile.
The National National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. In these supersonic times, with the great wide world shrinking to the size of a pretzel, crime is global. Chase a hood across New Jersey and you're likely to catch him in Botany Bay, or in Algeria, or Madagascar. In view of all this, the cablegram on my desk one merry morning didn't surprise me a bit. It had been dispatched from mid-ocean. The dateline read, SS Shalimar. The text of it said, arriving Friday, 6 p.m. Please see to arrangements for armored truck at pier for safe transfer of the priceless Barbary tomb relics. You were highly recommended by an official of the Cairo police. Signed, Oscar Melamed. Priceless cargo of anything generally brings out the worst in people, and this one was no exception. Hello?
Mr. Craig?
And this is?
I'm Lisa Barnum. I'd like to discuss something with you. Something extremely important.
Capital letter B?
Capital letter B?
B for the Barbary collection.
Why, you're uncanny.
Yeah. I learned the art of divination from one-note Olio Myers.
One-note Olio Myers?
Yeah, a trombone player in the T-Bone Casino Philharmonic.
Go ahead. Finish your joke.
Olio always knew on Friday he was going to get canned Saturday.
Can we meet and talk as soon as possible?
Well, why not?
I'll come to your place.
No, I'll come to your place.
But I'd much rather.
I prefer women in their natural habitat, doll. It helps cement a truer understanding. Lisa Barnum lived in a building that had a taxidermist in the downstairs store. While I looked for her doorbell in the row of eight bell pushers, a stuffed chimpanzee came out of the taxidermist to stick a gun in my ribs.
Looking for somebody?
Yes, I am.
Lisa Barnum. You're calling on her?
I confess.
Then you're with me from now on.
Your gun says.
My gun says. You see that green and gold job over there?
Snazzy.
We'll take a spin in it. You and me.
Vertically?
Oh, you mean sitting up.
You got quite a grasp of the English.
No. You won't be sitting up.
I won't?
You'll be laying down. Turn to a side a little, huh?
This much?
Yeah. I like hitting them on the side of the ear.
Every man to his taste.
No yelling now when you get it.
I'll try to be a gentleman about it.
We don't want to be scaring people.
Came to with my left ear as big as Dumbo the elephant's. I tried stretching my legs to see how the old blood was circulating. And I knocked over what sounded like a garbage can. I reached a hand out in the pitch dark to get the feel of my surroundings. Almost strangled a cat. I tried getting my bearings by scent. My lungs began to choke up from what smelled like a poison gas barrage. I hate saying the obvious, but where am I?
In a cellar.
And where are you in this blackout?
Over here, sitting on a box.
Why?
Why not?
Now that stumps me. Say, where's that mustard gas blowing from?
You really disapprove of my cologne.
When I get it in lethal doses.
How do you feel?
Mainly perplexed.
Perplexed? Oh, the answers are simple, really.
They always are when you know them. So inform me.
Here?
You know a better location?
Mertz's drugstore, just down the block. You'll want penicillin ointment on that ear before it infects. Here, I'll help you up.
I've always relied on the kindness of women, Lisa. You no doubt are Lisa Bonham.
Yes, I am Lisa Bonham.
In Mertz's, I got one ear swabbed and taped while Lisa bent my other ear.
I saw you assaulted on my stoop. I was upstairs at the front window.
What's your floor?
Second. I ran down to the street to see you thrown into that man's automobile.
That man being?
Why, I don't know. I hailed a taxi cab and followed you.
Why?
Why? What would you have me do?
Well, yell police good and loud. If you were really alarmed about me. However, go on with it.
You were carried into that cellar and abandoned there. When it was safe, I...
You joined me?
Yes.
Oh, my heroine.
You are an irritating man.
Time out while I check through my pockets.
Well, is anything missing?
Something is.
Your wallet?
No.
Then,
A cablegram I got this morning.
A cablegram?
Don't play dumb.
All right, I won't. A cablegram telling you where and when Oscar Melamed would arrive.
Oscar Melamed and precious cargo.
The man who assaulted you was after the information.
Obviously, and he's got it. And what are you after, baby?
It's a long story.
Well, try condensing it into a few words.
All right. Our family name was Barbary, before it was changed to Barnum.
I get the emphasis.
My uncle, Dexter Barbary, was an Egyptologist. He spent his entire mature life in search of tomb relics.
You make him sound dead.
He vanished without a trace 2 years ago.
Well, where was he then?
In Alexandria, Egypt. My last contact with him was a letter he sent me. I have the letter here if you'd care to read it.
Oh, later. But meanwhile, you brief me on the contents of it.
The letter states that he'd come upon a priceless collection of Byzantine tomb relics. That he was registering them in his name, Barbary, as the Barbary Collection.
And?
And, period.
And of Uncle Dexter?
Yes.
And you suspect foul play?
I believe he was murdered and that his collection was stolen.
I see. Are you the last known living Barbary?
If Uncle Dexter is dead, yes, I am.
Finish what's on your mind.
The tomb relics rightfully belong to me.
So sue for them.
Sue? Should I really be so proper, Mr. Craig? Only sue the man who caused my uncle's murder?
The accused being my current client.
Oscar Melamed.
Well, now answer me this. How did you know the Barbary collection was on board the SS Shalimar en route to here?
I don't care to disclose my sources of information.
Then you can never be my client.
Why can't I be?
Secretive clients worry me. I always imagine they're taking my head size.
Taking your head size.
So the dunce cap will fit nice and snug. Friday, 6 p.m., found me on the pier where the SS Shalimar had docked, as ordered. And also, as ordered, I had an armored truck hired and standing by for the safe and orderly transfer of the Barbary collection. A guy in a red oriental fez who had introduced himself as Oscar Melamed stood with me, watching two giant-sized crates being loaded on the armored truck.
I am grateful for your very conscientious services, Mr. Craig.
Repeat that to yourself when you get my bill. Now, when the collection's all loaded, where does it go?
I have given your driver written instructions.
Don't call him my driver. I got the armored car service out of a telephone directory. I make no guarantees.
The collection is to be stored in a vault. I have already made the arrangements.
What's it all worth, Melamed, in round figures?
$200,000-$300,000.
Well, that explains the buzzards buzzing around.
Every thief in the world has plans to steal the Barbary collection.
Well, we've got at least one native hood around, eager to liven up the competition.
One?
Mm-hmm.
There will be 20, Mr. Craig. You will see.
Well, the junk's loaded and bolted in, Melamed. You want me to ride on the truck?
No.
Be a lot smarter if I did.
The driver has his instructions. Let him go. We will remain here.
Well, you're sure casual with 300 G's, Melamed.
I do not want you injured, Mr. Craig. That is why you remain here with me.
Just what's that supposed to mean? Oh, that sounds like there's something up your sleeve. Some nice hunk of Oriental cunning.
Where is your police headquarters, Mr. Craig?
Raymond and Sixth. Why?
Let us go there together and await the report of the daring theft.
Theft of the Barbary collection?
Yes, the theft of the Barbary collection.
At police headquarters on Raymond and Sixth, we haunted the teletype machine. Completing our trio was a sallow-cheeked sergeant named Joe Tuesday, who looked as if crime gave him an acid stomach.
I've had dizzy characters popping into headquarters before.
Hey, look it.
Look it?
What the ticker tape is saying.
Huh? Oh. Armored truck seized by gang in machine gun raid at corners of Beaver and Howard. Driver and guard kidnapped. Order statewide alert.
Well, you're a champ prognosticator, Melamed.
What do you think, Lisa?
I don't know.
Good noir detective drama on Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator, with Sweet Larceny starring William Gargan. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. You and I should go across the pond with Dave Bertram.
But what's his last name?
Bertram.
Say it clearly.
And we'll go there. And just, we will do our radio show from there.
Roger, he's just some one or two letters
what do
off
you think?
On that one.
Boy, he's Roger? A whole alphabet off.
What do you think of that idea? Do you like that idea?
In Gary Court, I think that it'd be a jolly good show.
It's a jolly good show.
Jolly would good show to
if we would
Steve
go
Bertrand.
On that trip.
Who are you?
Who are
trying
you?
To be Winston Churchill, or who are you?
Of course, since we already live there, we wouldn't have to go very far.
Who is that? Is that you? Sound like Truman Capote?
No,
you sound like a deeper voiced Truman Capote.
No.
There's a lot of ammonia growing here. If you just tuned in, it may not sound
There's
good.
A lot of bodily noise.
And now another episode of Sherlock Holmes.
I think that your little groans are going to make it to the inappropriate reel, whatever that's called.
That was...
right there.
That was way...
That would be Roger enjoying himself too much.
Yeah.
There was like bodily noises coming out of
it's a
it.
Lot of
it was like coming out of your ears and stuff like that. All right, let's we're having way too much fun. All right, let's take a break for news. It's 1:31, time for WGN News with Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is 1:37 in the morning. And it's Sunday morning, and we will be back here tonight at 11 p.m. with more classic radio shows. We have another good detective adventure with Michael Shane, Private Eye, starring Jeff Chandler. Then it's Lights Out, which is the scariest of all the radio shows, and a show called Sokol Yin from 1943. Then it's Big Town with Edward Pauly and Fran Carlin. Good newspaper drama. So we have a detective, a scary show, and a drama. That's tonight when Lisa and I will be back here for our Sunday broadcast of the WGN Radio Theater. But now it is the conclusion to Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator.
With the hijacked armored car problem in the laps of the Metropolitan Police, Melamed and yours truly went for a spin in my jalopy. The joyride was his idea.
Pier 17, Hoboken. You choose the proper approach, Mr. Craig. But first, you have an important thing to attend to.
Like?
Like the automobile behind us. See, in your mirror?
Yeah. We're being trailed, all right. An old New York custom. Familiar job, the one behind us. Green and gold convertible.
You have seen it before?
I'm getting a nostalgic twinge in my ear. The bum one. Well, shall we tangle with them or lose them?
Lose them, of course.
Fasten your safety belt. Before the green and gold job behind us gave up a hopeless chase, they sent out a signal of defeat.
They are shooting at us.
We're out of range, Melamed. And get your fingers out of my knee.
But I'm nervous.
Who isn't? Now wave a last fond goodbye to the boys. Alone at last on Pier 17, Hoboken, a banana boat was whistling hello to the USA.
Ah, the Susie Q.
Well, why should a banana freighter give you that radiant glow of happy health, Melamed?
Can't you guess, Mr. Craig?
Yeah, I can at that. Sitting amidst mountains of bananas aboard the Susie Q is a big piece of ancient Egypt.
A Barbary collection.
Dummy crates aboard the SS Shalimar, and the real McCoy aboard the Susie Q.
Unnecessary subterfuge. I'm sorry to have used you as a...
Decoy's the word. It's okay with me, so long as justice triumphs. But is justice triumphing, Melamed?
I do not understand your question.
I've got a suspicious nature.
But you trust your own judgment.
Yeah, I do that. And no offense intended, mind you, but you personally don't come off too good in my judgment.
You have doubts about my integrity?
Swine that I am, yes.
The ways of the East are perhaps strange to the West.
$300,000 spells bonanza even in the Hindustani tongue.
But I am the owner of the Barbary collection.
I've heard other points of view on that.
Other points of view?
Yeah. A doll named Lisa Barnum. Lisa Barnum Barbary. Niece of Dexter Barbary.
Oh, I see. Now I understand the reason for your suspicion.
It's only one of my reasons.
Dexter Barbary was a guest in my country, an eccentric expatriate.
What do you mean, eccentric?
A better word would be fool. An amateur Egyptologist and an uninformed one. The man was a vagrant, a mere professional beggar.
But he registered a collection as the Barbary collection. The one now aboard the Susie Q there.
A fraudulent registration, Mr. Craig. Barbary was in my employ as a gardener and chauffeur. He registered possessions belonging to me, Oscar Melamed. I have affidavits.
Oh, that's your story. Where is Barbary now?
I can only repeat rumors.
Like?
His death was reported. He had contracted a disease in the Kilimanjaro Ranges.
Kilimanjaro? What was Barbary doing in Hemingway's private ballpark?
Looking for fossil specimens. Now, if you will tell me, what is your fee?
Paying me off here and now, huh?
Yes, Mr. Craig. You have been useful, but now you are useless. How much?
Peel off a grand, Sahib, in New York coin. I took the grand and copped off, but I didn't go too far from my ex-client. I was on his tail, automotively speaking, all the way from the Susie Q to a warehouse in Newark, where the Barbary collection was unloaded and stored. I made careful note of the address. In my office the next morning, business began to boom. The chimpanzee who loved toying with my left ear. He had a gun in each hand. Hey, there's only one of me, Buster.
I carry two guns to balance the weight. I don't want one shoulder down lower than the other.
Oh, I see.
Remind yourself of something, Craig.
Meaning?
Where you went with Egypt when you shook my car yesterday.
Oh, Pier 17, Hoboken.
And then to where?
I don't know. I got paid off and canned at the pier.
Baloney.
Slice it, please.
A smart guy like you
would know where $300,000 worth of loot is stored.
Yeah, would know.
Mind if I pry into your character a little?
What befoozles you about me?
How a creep straight out of a Manhattan sewer got himself in the middle of a Cairo-Egypt conspiracy.
I got a friend on the lam in Egypt. Maxim Odessa, three-time loser, so he can't ever come home. He sent me a letter.
About the collection?
Yeah, about
Then you're freelancing.
I got a few pool players in with me.
On your way out, surrender your guns to Sergeant Joe Tuesday.
Joe Tuesday? Where is he?
In the lobby, running the elevator, on the back stairs, and on the roof. You know what an octopus Joe Tuesday is.
You got cops staked out, huh?
For your exclusive benefit, Buster, I'm a guy who takes pride in his ears.
So I had
sticks and stones.
Oh, blast my way out.
You'll make an unbeautiful corpse. Exit smiling, Buster.
Imagine me walking into a cop's stakeout. Me, Ponjo.
You're beginning to bore me. Skidoo now. After Ponjo, the 10th Avenue Arab, came Lisa. In top form, throwing curves at me.
I thought over what you said.
And?
I decided to take your advice.
And?
I engaged an attorney. The firm of Brendel, Kirtle, and Damhauser.
You're suing Oscar Melamed?
For the Barbary collection. We've already served papers.
A summons and complaint.
And a restraining order. Melamed is not to take the collection out of the country without consent of the court.
What adjudication are you after?
Sale of the collection and the proceeds of it to me.
$300,000, huh?
Approximately.
Lots of mink and banana royals. What about the alleged murder of your dear Uncle Dexter?
There isn't much I can do about a murder done in Egypt or elsewhere.
Yes, there would be the jurisdictional problem. Now, you want to inspire trust and confidence in me?
Yes, so very much, Barry.
I wondered when you'd begin to coo Barry at me.
You wondered?
Yeah. A doll finds her lie is showing. She brings sex appeal into the breach. It's not as old as sin, baby. It's older.
What do I have to do to prove my utter good faith?
Prove you really had an amateur Egyptologist uncle named Dexter Barbary.
Prove I... You don't think I made him up?
Didn't you?
Why, if this isn't... Mr. Craig, do you often have whams on your head?
Only when my feet ache. Let's talk about the morning's news, huh? The Barbary collection's on every front page.
So it is. So what?
Oh, $1 million news break, figuring the space and pictures. And here, a feature interview with Oscar Melamed. How his oriental ingenuity baffled every raffles from Tibet to Hoboken, New Jersey.
But it all does qualify as big news. Or does it mean something else to your warped mind?
It does, doll. But I won't tell you. Not until I tell it to Oscar Melamed first. Now, try sitting on my lap. I'll toss you out of the window.
Why, you're nothing but a stick of wood.
Oh, I'll just bet you tell that to all the boys. Melamed had company when I found him. Company just about to leave. Distinguished, middle-aged, Black Homburg. The type American tycoon with nervous money and a collector's itch. I caught their parting words.
Then I'll assume it's agreed, Mr. Melamed.
We are in complete harmony, Mr. Cartwright.
You drive a hard bargain, but I can afford it. Good day.
Good day, Mr. Cartwright.
Tell me, which Cartwright is it? The banker or the steel baron?
Mr. Cartwright is an oil.
Marinated in your special brand of oil.
Why have you come here?
Putting it bluntly, to stymie a bunco game.
A bunco game? Now, what absurdity.
The trash you're trying to palm off as treasure.
You call the Barbary collection trash?
I do. And all the hijinks and publicity around it is only a build-up for susceptible suckers. What you're really selling him is a collection of newspaper headlines. The publicity has him so dazzled he won't remember to inspect the merchandise. Oh, I see you stopped laughing. Okay, if I bore you with the details of your fraud?
I'm listening.
Thanks. Lisa Barnum's in with you, a full partner in the swindle. Her phony uncle routine, and now the lawsuit against you, is just more stage dressing. Like that armored car and the two fighters.
All more bait for suckers.
And the gangsters? Are they also full partners with me?
No, no. The mob was on its own. Flies around honey, or what they thought was honey. But all grist for your scheme. The shenanigans of the mob got you more juicy headlines. Helped make trash really look like treasure. Now, you gonna take a rest gracefully? Or are you the type who blows his fez?
Despite these circumstances, Mr. Craig, I am forced to admire you.
Well, thanks for saying it. It's what I live for. The goodwill and admiration of my clients. After all, man doesn't work for bread alone.
You have been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Sweet Larceny, was written by John Robert. Next week, it's the strange story of Corpse on the Town, about which Barry Craig has this to say. In Corpse on the Town, death rewrites the script of a Broadway show when a bachelor producer becomes a widower in two easy stages, marriage and murder. The National Broadcasting Company has just brought you an NBC Radio Network production with William Gargan, starring as Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Directed by Andrew C. Love, our cast included Edith Terry, Lou Krugman, Jan Arden, and Jonathan Hope. Join Groucho Marx for You Bet Your Life tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Lisa, join Groucho Marx. He wants wants you to join him.
I would love to.
Say the secret word and win $100. That's what it was, right? Say the secret word. Say the secret word and win $100, right? Here we go. There we go.
I think it was. Dave? So if it was your bet, you bet your life, was this 19? What was the year for this one?
Well, you bet your this one was 1955.
Yeah, 50s.
We started on radio simultaneously on television. They did both.
Which is, and, not a lot of shows did that.
No. But, you know, it was a quiz show, and it worked on radio just as well as TV, really, because it was, you know,
he was a conversationalist.
The interesting thing about that program is they'd have celebrities on the show, too, which was really cool. They would have not just regular people off the street. They'd have celebrities.
Regular people.
I
honestly think that the game shows would work on radio today. I mean, there's such a resurgence of game shows on television
Don't tell me and some of those other shows on other networks work very nicely as well. Hey, I got a question for you before we cut the break.
Yes, sir.
Jackie Gleason, did he ever do radio?
Nope.
Nothing.
Well, I take that back.
Okay.
You know, he did, that I know of, he did one, he substituted for William Bendix on a Life of Riley radio show once. Bendix was ill.
Okay.
And then our...
Do you have that?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
And then
Irving, cool.
Yes. And then Irving Brecker, who was the producer, he cast him in that. So he did the show live with William, with Jackie Gleason. And then the very first year of television, Bendix was not able to do the television show because he had a contract. Then that's why he cast Jackie Gleason.
Gotcha. Okay.
He was a lot
thinner. Facebook somewhere, and then
thinner.
I just thought, hey, I wonder
he
if
never
he
had
ever
a radio show,
never
though.
Did that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Then we'll be back with Dave Plyer and Lisa Wolf. All right. So next week,
I'm not going to be here.
But you know what? We have, you're in good hands.
Plastic surgery is nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm a little worried about it.
Well, you do have a lot of things to take care of.
You are going
of,
to Beverly Hills for that, and that's okay.
Going to Beverly Hills. I figure they have the best plastic surgery.
Yeah. surgeons.
I'm pretty sure there's some good ones right here in Chicago.
Oh,
but
there are.
You feel
there
you
are.
Need
Same
to go.
Doctor that did Melanie Griffith. Be very careful.
Not getting any lips done. I'm leaving my lips
injections.
The way they are now.
No. And it's embarrassing what you're having done. I don't want to even
talk
about it. It's really uncomfortable.
Let's not talk about it on the air on a 50,000-watt station. Yeah. Exactly. Doing a little business traveling. No plastic surgery this time, but
sure.
We believe you. You know, we're going to take some before and after photos, and you can make your own decision.
Do people know you're like a big producer, movie mogul guy? Do people know? And that is the truth, by the way. I'm not faking that out.
I think Carl thinks he's a little bigger than he is.
No, he is. He is. He's been doing this for decades, man. And I mean, you are. Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
I am doing a little traveling out there. I'm going to go to this place you're talking about.
Frank and Musso.
I'm going to write it down.
It's Oscar weekend. So, I mean, it's a great place. You're going to see
that's where I'm
going
to say I'm going. I'm going to the Oscars.
See, that's what you have to do.
You can make it up if you want to.
I'm not going to the Oscars. Wish I was.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Oscars, what do you think is going to win Best Picture? What's your thoughts?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even know off the top of my head some of the nominees.
Dunkirk. I was thinking Dunkirk was going to win.
That was good. I like that.
But now that I saw three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh,
saw that on a plane.
It.
What did you like that?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Wow, that was good. That was really something.
I think it...
Well, maybe we'll have a few minutes next week to talk a little bit more about
Oscars,
it. Dave and I are going to do a little Oscar talk, and you can listen from your business trip.
I'm going to be listening, too. I bet you will.
Yeah.
As I'm recovering from my plastic surgery.
That's right.
You can lay in bed
Lady Bird. Lady Bird was really good.
Yeah.
I loved Lady Bird.
Yeah. With
Roseanne,
I love Laurie Metcalf.
I've actually interviewed her quite a few times, and
I think I saw that because I was looking at this interviewer. And I really
there's a whole lot of reasons, but I really, really liked her. She was very honest and very genuine, and she even teared up, and we laughed, we cried.
That's cool.
Kind of a heart to heart, and I really appreciated her honesty.
I might need to get some contact info from you.
Well, that'll cost you.
No, I know. Well, I'm sure it will.
She's a great interview.
Yeah.
She sure is. Yeah. She's here at Steppenwolf a lot, so that's when I've been able to
see have any more commercials
her.
Or no? We can talk all the way to the top? Great. What's on the show, Dave?
What is on the show?
Yeah.
What's on the show? I'm not quite awake yet.
You're interviewing Laurice Hawkins from Chicago PD.
I love that guy.
He says it and then you say it.
I thought you were talking in my ear. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. Which he's really super cool guy. And he's a comedian too, and he's always a great storyteller. So it's the 100th episode of Chicago PD, which is a big deal that they've made it to that point.
Yeah.
So for him, you know, big deal, syndication, you know, movie stars, swimming pools, all that good stuff. So Laurice is going to join us.
Sounds like the Beverly Hillbillies there.
It does a little bit. And then Beth Klingerman, is the director of talent for Second City, and there's going to be a conversation. We're doing this conversation series at the Broadcast Museum, and it's going to be really about the relationship between SNL and Second City, because so many stars, specifically even from the beginning that first season, John Belushi, Gilda Radner, Dan Aykroyd are all Second City alums. So we're going to kind of talk about, excuse me, still have a cough, those connections as well. And then what? What else do we have?
Allison Castle.
Oh, Allison Castle, who wrote a book on Saturday Night Live and spent a lot of time like on the set and so forth. So,
Are you familiar with the show that's running at Mercury Theater Chicago right now? We've been giving away tickets for it. It's the tribute play to Gilda Radner,
Bunny,
Gilda Radner story.
No, I did not know that.
I forgot exactly the name of it. It's at Mercury Theater Chicago. It's running right now. It got great reviews.
That's cool.
You might appreciate that.
That's very cool. Yeah. All right. And then next week, filling in for Carl, we're going to have Fanny Bryce and Frank Nelson on, which is really exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be a real show.
That would be quite a feat. Yeah.
Who's left? Anybody?
You know.
We were talking about this
the other day. I mean, Peggy Weber, she did a ton of radio. She is doing great out in L.A. She has a theater group called CART, California Arts Radio Theater.
Wow.
And she does reenactments and, you know, sort of like what Roger does.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know if there's really anybody else.
I was looking at Nostalgia Digest, and they had the necrology, which people who passed away. And I remember 10, 15 years ago seeing the announcer for this show, and this one just passed away at 97. I'm not seeing a lot of that anymore. Like, that might be it.
No. There's one girl from the Hour, Miss Brooks series, that is still around, and then Tommy Cook, who was a kid in a lot of these shows.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah.
But
okay, that makes
really
sense.
Yeah, too many other people.
There was a show on PBS years ago, I think we've talked about this before, that gathered, Steve Allen hosted it, and it was all old-time radio hosts. It was like 1978. It was radio hosts, announcers, and actors, anybody who was left from that golden era.
Hmm.
And I think Chuck sold them on his website at some point. And within a couple of years after that, Chuck had said to me, nah, they all died within like 3 to 5 years after that. But it was all these famous voices that you heard for years that from an era gone by. And even back then, they were starting to. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of my fondest memories of when I first got involved in these radio shows, I first heard my first show, I was 12.
Yeah.
You know, so we're talking about 40 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And I went to the conventions where they were all at the conventions because...
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know they did that.
They had these conventions in Cincinnati and New Jersey. And all of the people that were alive, I shouldn't say all, but a lot of the people that were alive, and I'm talking about big names, would go there. And then they would do reenactments. And the people that were there would audition to play parts. And several times I won auditions. And so I got to actually be at the microphone.
Ooh, that's
with,
cool.
I'm talking some major... people.
Did you get to walk away with some audio? Did they do that type thing or not really?
I know they were videotaping it.
Okay.
And we've tried to look it up to see if we could find something,
but
we haven't been able to.
One time,
what a cool experience.
One time, I was at the microphone with Willard Waterman in a radio reenactment of Great Gildersleeve, and I was Leroy. And then there was Shirley Mitchell who played Lila Ransom.
Yeah, you know? She was an I Love Lucy actress.
Yes, she was. And so I got to literally be at the stage, you know, for not only a dress rehearsal, but then the actual show in front of a live studio audience, you know, it was up there on stage. And with Willard Waterman, and I got there, and he was like, Leroy, and I was like, hey, Unc, you know. And then another one I remember was Nick Carter, Master Detective, with Lon Clark, who was Nick Carter.
Wow.
And Charlotte Manson, who was... his, you know, sidekick on there, and I was like a bad guy. I was talking like this.
I love that because it really tells how the story on how deep you are into this and how you got into this to begin with at such a young age.
Got to be on stage with a lot of those people.
Very
and,
cool.
Yeah, license them as well.
Very
all
cool.
right, well, Dave Plyer's up next,
all
so
right,
stick
guys.
Around for that. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.